Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I am very excited to have Carrie Dolan, who is the founder of an amazing company called Opt-In, on the show today. Carrie has a very unique background in that she started off in technology in New York many, many years ago and had a very, very successful career and found herself in a position where she had to figure out what she wanted to do. After she was in a high-risk pregnancy, she chose to leave the workplace and to opt out of working in what she thought would be a temporary step out of the workplace while she stayed home to take care of her kids. And what sparked Carrie creating this amazing company called Opt-In about a year or so ago is when she went to re-enter the workplace, she was astounded by the lack of available positions for all of these incredible working moms out there who were looking to get back into the workplace, but there were a limited number of part-time positions that were available and out there. So Carrie is regularly interviewed by the Huffington Post. She just shared with me that she's actually going to be doing a TED Talk later this year in September, which is very exciting, and we'll be sure to ask her about that. And so today I'd like to welcome Carrie Dolan to the show. Thank you so much for being here, Carrie.
Thank you for having me. I love your show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so today what we're going to talk to Carrie about is some issues that I'm sure are at the forefront of many mothers' minds. The first issue being, when do you know it's okay to leave? And do you have that conversation? Is it something you have a conversation with your spouse about? Is it something that, how do you know the timing is right to leave the workplace in the first place? And then if you are a mom, how do you know when it's the right time to go back? And once you've made that choice that, okay, this is the right time for me to go back to work, how do you even go about doing that? And I just think it's so inspirational what Carrie's company does and the resources and the training and development that she offers these women. That way they can be courageous and have the strength and power they need to re-enter the workplace powerfully. So Carrie, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you came into this field?
Okay, sure. As you said, I worked for a technology company for 15 years after college. And when I got spontaneously pregnant with identical twins, the doctor said that, you know, I need to go on bed rest that day. And I never really made the choice to opt out. That choice was made for me. So I think that really has helped me help other women with that choice, because it was something that I didn't make. It was made for
yeah.
me. So, you know, and everyone has a different story. Every woman has a different story. And you had mentioned before, you know, when do you know it's right? And that is very much a personal issue for every woman. And I would definitely suggest to women that are in the process of making this choice to spend a lot of time with themselves, you know, making this decision and speaking to, you know, their partner, their spouse, and try to really know what it means. It's really hard to kind of put yourself there saying, oh, you know, I'll take a year off. So you really need to spend some quiet time. It's a really major decision. And it's something wasn't able to do. I think I would have made a different choice if, you know, that choice wasn't made for me, but, you know, such is life. So, and then what I would suggest women do is try to keep a foot in a door and, you know, really to continue, if it's a career that, you know, you're passionate about and you want to, you know, eventually go back into that, you know, maybe there's an opportunity where you can, work part-time or work from home or, you know, write blogs about that topic and publish them. Something, one, to keep you energized about your field and your passion, but also to show on your resume when you are ready that
you've been busy the whole time. That's such a great point, because we see that all the time on the recruiting end, where people take 7 years off to raise kids, which for me, I mean, is so admirable. I remember my mom, who was a nurse, worked part-time when she had us. But like you said, if there's anything you can do to keep your skills fresh during that period, whether it's blogging, part-time, working from home, I have a lot of friends who have young children who will help out on special projects, and that way the skills don't become rusty, and it also strengthens your resume.
Yeah, that's actually a really one great way to do it. And there's also lots of opportunities now that we see where there's project-based work as well as interim work for people, you know, the woman that's leaving on the maternity leave, you know, to kind of step into that role. So it gives you a taste to step back into it. You know, maybe that would be for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And then you could see if you're really ready to go back full time. So that's a nice segue back into the work. And again, more easily attainable if you kept your connections, kept your network, kept your LinkedIn active with sharing, you know, some thought leaders' work that might be on LinkedIn and, you know, just keeping your network alive.
Yeah, you don't even have to come up with the material yourself. And it's like when I'm teaching people how to leverage their social networks, 30% can be about you personally. That way people stay connected to you. 30% can be sharing about things that are relevant in the industry, like you just said, brilliant, to share global thought leaders' information that's in line with your personal brand. And even if you're an employee of a company, we all have our own brands, and you want to be building that brand at all time. In fact, one of my favorite tools that I use to do that myself is Hootsuite. Do you know about that?
No.
Oh, it's great. I highly recommend you suggest it to your moms out there, because especially for moms, most of the moms I know, you might have 30 minutes if you're lucky while the kid is napping or not eating or something right. like that. And what's great about Hootsuite is in that 30 minutes, you can line up and set a time frame for all the articles you want to go out that week. So in
buffer. Okay.
Yeah. So you would just set up and you would say, okay, on Monday at 9 a.m., I want this article to go out. On Tuesday at 2 p.m., I want this quote to go out. And it's really great. And then the last 30% can be, you know, asking for things. And there's so many things moms can do, you know, even do-it-yourself jobs at home. Mary Kay is great for in-between moms and so many other options like that.
Yeah, and I know a lot of moms give a lot of time at the school, and there's some really powerful roles in the PTA, and that's one way to be fulfilled. And, you know, I kid around with the moms at school saying, you know, you can't go back to work, because, you know, those moms, I mean, we rely on them very heavily. I mean, they do tremendous amount of work for our, you know, my kids are in public school, and they, you know, really make it an outstanding place. So there's lots of ways to really get involved and, you know, keep your mind fresh.
Yeah, and that's a great point that you just brought up, is when I'm looking at individuals' resumes, there's so much work that as moms you might do that people don't even think to incorporate into a resume, like the PTA work. You might be negotiating with vendors, you might be helping facilitate or doing administrative work, and that is all stuff that is very transferable into many jobs in the workplace that a lot of moms might want to enter into.
Right, and we just had a fundraiser at our school which raised thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't happen, you know, automatically.
Easily.
Yeah,
you got to put effort. There's some hardworking moms at your school.
Yes, there are. And, you know, all the sales that they have and all of that. So there's lots of ways not, you know, to kind of keep yourself active. And I believe that for women, I mean, it's such a hard job to be at home, and it's a thankless job, that for me, I lost a lot of my self-esteem and a lot of who I was, because I was a working person. That's who I was. So without that, I really lost myself. And I think maybe if I had invested more time outside in of the home, I would have kept a little bit of myself in
yeah.
that regard.
You lose your identity. We see that so often, whether you're a mom leaving the workplace or even somebody who's been laid off. And we saw this a lot in 2009, 10, 11, when the recession was going on, is so many people identified themselves as their job, because that's how we contribute to society. And when you shift your perspective and you begin to contribute to society through being a mom, it's almost like this shift in consciousness and perspective. And you still have to own your value, but it's a different way, I would say, of owning your value.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Because I think another part of my mission in changing the way women work is also changing the way society looks at the caretaker. And that caretaker could be a mom taking care of the future generation, or it could be, you know, a baby boomer taking care of the previous generation, which is happening now.
A lot.
Yeah. I just don't think that society values that role like they should.
Of the caretaker. And you're right. I mean, for me, on the recruiting end, just today I was interviewing a candidate, and she said, oh gosh, I have to be really honest with you, Jen. I took the last month off to care for my mom. Is that okay to share share with employers. And to me, I think it's a notch in your belt. I mean, the amount of work and energy and attention and selflessness, whether it's children or your parents, that goes into caring for somebody, that's the sort of person that you want on your team and that's going to be valuable. Although where it does get to be a crux sometimes when we see people kind of pad their resumes or say that they took care of somebody, and that might not have been the case. So I think that's where it may sour, you know, the companies for the real people who are doing this great work or taking care of children or parents.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I always make a call out to, you know, Jeff Weiner, who is the CEO of LinkedIn, saying, you know, there should be some sort of check mark on LinkedIn, like, you know, taking care, you know, a caretaker, you know, because people are concerned about
what
that gap
great
in the resume.
Idea.
Yeah. And just kind of just changing the way society looks at that. I mean, I've met some, you know, people in HR, and they say, you know, if I see a resume come across my desk with a big gap in it versus someone who doesn't have a gap,
I'm going to go with the person without the gap, of course.
Right. And I think, you know, what we try to do with Opt-In is kind of have these women remarket themselves and the skills that they gained at home and bring that into the interview in an authentic, honest way. You know, if you sat down with someone during an interview and they said, well, where have you been for the last 5 years?
What have you been doing with yourself?
And you have an authentic story, you know, that's that, you know, of course, I mean, that person most likely is either a mother or a father, or had a mother stay home, or had a father stay home, or had an aunt stay home. I mean, everyone that you tell the story to,
going to empathize.
They're going to empathize. And if you're honest and you say, you know, I wasn't in a traditional job, but you should see how I task managed and, you know.
Exactly. My organizational abilities are off the charts.
Yes. The patience.
Yes.
Negotiation.
I know. Negotiation with children. No, you can't have that candy bar.
Yeah. Three-year-olds. They're tough.
You know, I never thought about that. From a business standpoint, you could probably learn a lot of business negotiating techniques, among other things, just from your interaction with children. But like you said, society as a whole tends to undervalue that. And so from your own experience, because here you did take time off to raise your children, when was the right time for you? For our listeners out there who might be toying with, maybe they've been at home a year or, you know, 5 years or 10 years, when is the right time and how do you choose that right time to re-enter the workforce?
Well, sometimes it happens for, you know, a reason, maybe that your partner or your spouse lost his job and now it's time for you, or you get into a different financial situation where it's really evident that a second income is needed. For me, it was something so deep inside burning in me. I mean, I was so lost that, you know, I could definitely attribute that to not working. So I knew that it was time. And I speak to a lot of different women at a lot of different stages. And it's kind of that you'll know.
You'll know when you're ready. Heart or your gut when it's the right time.
Yeah. And it's a process. And for most women, it starts as a thought, like, oh, I'm kind of ready. And then they sit with it. And as the time goes, and then they're ready. And they're actually there sitting down doing the resume. So it really does depend, and it is such a personal choice, you know, with a lot of things depending on it. You know what I mean? If once your children are in school all day, I mean, obviously that's a really good time to be able to actually think, oh, okay, now I have a little bit more time on my hands. I mean, when you have, you know, I had three kids, you know, that were still not in school full time, it was a little bit hard for me to say, wow, yeah, let me leave the house all day. I didn't have someone helping me.
Yeah.
I didn't have a nanny or anything like that. So it was a little bit harder for me to think about it. And, you know, there's so many great opportunities for women to start their own companies. That's how I got back into it first. I started my own company. So I was able to work at night when my kids were sleeping. And then it was a childcare situation. So I started the first ever drop-off childcare center inside a mall. So I was able to bring my three-year-old when, you know, before he got to school for some of the day. So there's, you know, lots of great opportunities for women to kind of set up their own structure and work for themselves.
Well, I didn't even think about this, but I know when I Uber a lot all over the city, and what's really great is obviously the ratio of men to women is pretty significant in the amount of Uber drivers, and that makes sense just from a safety standpoint. But I remember there was this mother who was my Uber driver maybe a month or two ago, and you know, she had two small kids and was going through a divorce, and it's a common story. And she's like, I am just so grateful. And she was Ubering to be able to get enough money to get a realtor's license and be able to do that. And she said it gave her this flexible schedule to be able to accommodate, you know, dropping her kids off at school and doing all of that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, with this mesh economy that's happening right now, there's this great app. I don't know if you use TaskRabbit.
Oh, I've heard about it.
Yeah,
I haven't used it yet.
With my move, there were certain things that I couldn't physically do. So I would go on, and this woman came and helped me, this young girl, and, she's making some extra money. She's an actress, and she helped me unpack the whole kitchen and cut all the liners of the drawers.
You're kidding.
Yeah,
how have I not used this app? TaskRabbit.
Yes.
Okay.
TaskRabbit. Yeah. So, she was fantastic. She came back again. I ran into her. She's a local girl in town, so I ran into her on the street. And then I was having trouble moving this heavy piece of furniture. Go on to the app, suggest like a strong helping hand, and this nice gentleman came, helped me move my dressers.
That's amazing. So, and the other one I've heard, Postmate, is that what it's called?
Yes, that's the food delivery.
Yeah, that's the food. Or I've heard, does Postmate, I thought Postmate did other things as well, or is that only TaskRabbit?
TaskRabbit does a lot of different things. Postmates, I believe, is just the food.
And you know what's funny?
From
on
all
that,
the different restaurants.
And the other one is, too, on Uber Eats, which is great because I love it. For me, as a businesswoman, I barely have time to eat lunch most days.
Exactly.
And that's where I see the most Uber drivers who are women. It's
yes.
great because they work this small little, like, maybe 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Great time for while people are in school or while the kids are in school. And then by the time they're done, they can go pick up their kids from school, and they've made a good enough amount of money to help sustain themselves.
Yeah, and there's some local moms in Culver City that started, I might get the name wrong, Hop, Skip, and Jump, which is an Uber for
kids. I was talking to somebody about that on a plane at like NAB or CES or one of those conferences, and we were talking about like mom's cab or something like that, because moms also need help sometimes with just picking up and dropping off kids, but you have to make sure it's safe enough.
Yeah, so they go through the special vetting process, and they even have like water bottles in the back. They have like extra, cleats and extra, things that mothers
gosh,
might
that's
need.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant.
So yeah, so that, I saw them around town the other day doing that. So I think
there are more options than ever before. And I think you and I were talking about this the other day. What's really interesting, too, is in determining when the right time is to go back into the workplace, we were talking about cost analysis, because I think you were sharing with me that there was a recent article that came out about the cost of daycare compared to, what you would make. Yeah, college, and compared to what it would cost you to go back to work. And that's the other thing that one of my very first employees who came and joined me back in 2000, I think it was 11, she had two kids at home. And the amount of money she was spending on daycare a month was $3,000 or $4,000 for both kids a month. And so instead, she came and worked from home for me and would come in the office one or two days a week. And the amount of time and money it saved her was just incredible, because so many working moms, I'm sure, are faced with that conundrum.
Yeah, and I salute you for, allowing the flexibility in the work from home option, because that's really helpful to, people.
Well, you get great talent. Like my first employee who came on board, I wouldn't have gotten her otherwise, because I couldn't compete with some of the bigger agency salaries. And then another one of my employees who came on board, she worked for one of the top law firms in the country, and she was in their HR department, and all she wanted was to be able to work part-time from home so she could help raise her little girl. And for me, it's a win-win, because like you and I talked about, the amount of dedication and these moms and their know-how and what the skills are they bring to the table, they're so grateful often to just be able to work from home that you get a greater productivity out of them than you might otherwise.
Yeah, and that's, my bigger message with, changing the way women work, or, basically changing the way, society works, is that, you have to start weighing that, those things. Like you said, you will get benefits back by, giving them that flexibility. And sometimes even, this generation of women that are transitioning back into the workplace, they'll trade compensation for flexibility.
Exactly.
And that's really important for them.
Move to San Fran, because that is, I remember as owning a legal recruiting firm, J. Hill Staffing, I have to keep up with all the latest legal laws throughout California. And one of the most interesting places that you could possibly work is San Fran, because if you live and work if you live in the city of San Francisco, they have to, by law, accommodate you if you want to work from home. So a lot of people, I don't know if you knew that or not, but I remember as a staffing agency, I'm cringing. I'm going like, oh my gosh, that's like workers' comp and all these labor laws. But as a mom, that's a wonderful place where, I think San Francisco has always been at the forefront of, flexible workplace with all the Googles and Apples and tech companies up there to begin with.
Yeah, it's surprising. I interviewed the head of diversity for a large tech company doing some research on this project. And it was in her last year, so it was 2014, they did a survey. Out of 50,000 employees that worked for this tech company, 100 worked part-time.
What?
Yes. Oh. So they're not, people say like, oh, these tech companies, the tech companies tend not to be as flexible.
Really? I'm shocked to hear that.
Yes.
So only 100, you said, out of 50,000 were actually part-time, but were they able to have flexible work schedules?
We didn't get into too much of that because we were, you know, I was trying to get an angle of, you know, would she be willing to take a look at, you know, these women that are, you know, looking for flexibility. And, you know, she said, well, to be honest, it's just not right now what we do. And I think some of those bigger tech companies, you know, have the staff, they don't need to offer, you know, those type of perks. But again, you know, she said, oh, if the other company does it, we'll do it. You know, so again,
it's they want to remain competitive, of course. That's the name of the game, is making sure that their perks are the same as everybody else out there.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because on a recruitment standpoint, I remember part-time jobs from between about 2009 to maybe 2013, there was a huge decline. Like maybe we had out of thousands of job orders and requisitions that would come in a year, we might have had two during that four-year period. And just in the last month, we filled two part-time jobs and we're seeing a huge increase. So I think that because so many people scaled back so heavily on their workforce between 2009 and 2015, we're starting to see people dip their toe in the market and go, okay, wait, I do think I need a little bit of extra help. And that is looking like part-time. So I think it's a great time for moms to be considering getting back in the market if this is good timing for them.
Yeah, exactly. And because, you know, these large corporations went to a leaner workforce, what they're finding is that some of the project-based work that needs to get done is not getting fulfilled by the 9-to-5ers because they're already lean. So they're already kind of maxed out. Yeah. So they have a lot of these projects on the back burner. And they said, we'd love to hire a woman to come in and just do those projects. They're essential to us operating as a business, but it's not essential that she knows how our business operates.
Yeah.
You know? So I thought that was really interesting that, you know, a lot of, you know, project-based work, we can come in and hire, you know, do this project in this amount of time and really, you know, be valuable and also introduce yourself to, you know, this company and how you work, and, you know, you could go from there. So that's another option for women looking to return.
You just brought up a very interesting point, and I hadn't even put two and two together on the recruitment end of why there would be such an increase of part-time. But like you just said, from our perspective, we've been educating our clients where our temporary pool, our pool of contract candidates who used to be available between 2009 and early 2015, you had your run-of-the-mill and your pick of whoever you wanted for any type of position because there was still such a voluminous amount of people out there who weren't working. And in the last year and a half or so, it's significantly changed dramatically to where most of the temporary candidates who weren't even the most high and the ones that the clients wanted are now working full time. So like you said, the pool has really decreased and diminished of people who are available for project or contract or temporary work. And so it would make sense that people would be open to considering part-time moms or whatever that might look like.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about the services that Optin offers. I love what you were talking about. There was something we were talking about earlier where you mentioned that you help women prepare the house as well. So preparing themselves mentally as well as preparing their home before they even re-enter the workplace. And say a little bit about that because you had some wonderful points on that earlier.
Yeah. So what we try to do in our 6-week comprehensive course is give the women everything that they need to return to work. And I think one of the biggest things we touched on a little bit is the self-esteem.
You know, so important.
Yeah, so you really kind of help them remarket themselves and really own where they came from for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever that was, as well as some of the other skills that you need. You know, social media development is so important, you know, how to set up a proper LinkedIn. And we have, I've partnered with a fantastic career coach because a lot of these women don't necessarily want to go back to being the lawyer that they were. They want to try something new. They want to really find their new passion. So the first 2 weeks of the course are spent with the career coach, really trying to find where your values, you know,
lie.
Where your values lie and where, you know, if you're going to return, you know, where your passion is and try to help them, you know, find that passion. And then, you know, like I said, you know, we could get the woman ready to go back to work, but if her family falls apart when she returns and leaves the house, she's not going to be able to succeed. So there's lots of things we do. I mean, one simple thing we do is put together a shopping list and a menu planner for the week.
So oh my gosh, that's great. I love that.
You know, you could either delegate, you could hand it to someone else, you could hand it to your mom, you can hand it to your spouse and say, you know, go pick up these six things and you'll know that you'll have dinner for 5 nights, you know, something planned. Sometimes, you know, when you're rushing in the grocery store, you wind up not, you know,
getting what you need, or
yeah, so little things like that, because that's something, you know, after you work all day, you come home and the kids are adjusting to you not being as available as you used to be. So there's lots of personality changes that could happen with that. So if there's one less thing that we can help you with, which is having dinner, you know, somewhat organized, and again, opening up to those resources like Postmates and some other ones
that they might not even know
that
about.
They might not even know about because they're at home and they're able to cook. Well, you know what? You can. It's okay one night
to order in,
and I've done the cost analysis, and you know, it's, you know, after you go to Whole Foods and Ralph's and, you know, Gelson's, it's not really that big of a cost increase to,
and
you know,
there's also those other great websites I'm sure you talk about, like Gobbler or Blue Apron, mm-hmm. and so many moms I know don't even realize that these great resources exist, and oftentimes you can get your first two or three meals for free, and then everything's almost ready to go, you just need to throw it in the oven, and it's not cheating, you're actually giving yourself more time and energy.
Right, more time and energy to sit with the kids and do their homework.
To devote with them, yeah.
You know what I mean? That might be more important to you at that time. So it's really a comprehensive approach to getting the whole entire woman up and ready, you know, to get back. And also teaching them a little bit. I mean, women tend not to ask for help.
What? What do you mean? I can do it all myself.
Yeah. And I think during this transition, it's really important, you know, it's your esteem team, you know, gather a couple of women that you're close with that you can ask, you know what? I'm running late. Can you get Johnny? You know, and of course you feel so badly asking the other mom because she's busy too. But guarantee it, she doesn't feel badly.
Yeah.
Because you know what? She knows one day she's going to need help too. So really just teaching women about their network and, you know, saying it's okay to ask for help. We've all been there, you know, and I wouldn't be able to do it without, you know, my core group of girlfriends that have been so integral in helping me, you know, raise my family. It's like a village. And, you know, I really think that we need to kind of focus more on that and having women help each other.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of my dear friends was just emailing today. She's getting her master's program and has, you know, 1.5-year-old. And it just feels like the world is crashing down on her because she's hasn't reached out to any of us. And my other best friend and I, we're like, we're here for you. That's what friends are for. And she says, oh, I don't want to complain and burden you. And it's not a burden. Women have it that we're, you know, that we shouldn't bother each other, or how dare we call upon somebody, whether it's even just a shoulder to cry on or picking up Johnny from soccer practice, whatever it could be. But I think it's going back to that old mentality. You just hit the nail right on the head with the village. Is I think we've moved so far away culturally from women interacting with each other in a healthy, loving, compassionate way, and it's become so much of a girl eat girl, man eat man sort of a world that's how we've learned to interact with one another, which is not a good thing.
That's my TED Talk.
Oh, is it? Tell me, please. I promised everybody we would get back to your TED Talk. So please share with us about your TED Talk.
Well, it's in the process. I'm just beginning to write it with a very dear friend of mine who's helping me. But it's about why women innately don't help other women.
Oh, interesting subject.
And yeah, it's quite controversial, and you know, I think people will come at it, you know, with a lot of different feelings and emotion. But I think, like you were just saying, is that if we really want to make a difference, women in the society right now, we have to come together and move the needle ourselves. Stop blaming the men.
Stop blaming everybody. Let's just start with that. Stop blaming, stop justifying, and stop complaining.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, there's lots more I need to. I just, you know, just started on this process. It's going to take me a couple of months to kind of, you know, iron it all out.
To fine-tune it.
But something that's, I mean, this is kind of off tangent, but I have identical twin girls that are in sixth grade right now, and it's fascinating what's happening, what I'm noticing what's happening in sixth grade with the girls.
I can only imagine.
And the only thing I could say to kind of sum it up is, you know, mean girls, mean women. You know, something
so true. I was bullied a lot as a little kid, and girls like pulling me down by my hair and threatening to punch me. And thank God I talked my way out of most of it, but I was like punched and kicked and you name it.
Right. So that experience for you has turned you into the woman that is compassionate for other women and helping other women. But I think what happens also is, you know, the opposite could happen. Why would I help you?
Women become embittered because they become resentful and
because
I don't trust
they were hurt.
You.
They were hurt in sixth grade, you know, literally, physically, and mentally, and emotionally. So that's what I've been seeing this year with my girls is really what kind of started me thinking, like, why aren't women nice
more
to
kind
women?
And compassionate?
And maybe it's what happens in sixth grade. I don't know. So it's all kind of connected, but it goes back to, you know, women coming together and empowering your communities and, you know, really, if we really want to make a difference, we will do much more amazing things if we come together and help each other.
As a team, it's going back to that old village mentality. And I've been very fortunate to travel the world, and I'm sure you have as well. But it's astounding when you go to other cultures or other parts of the world, and there's even little subcultures within Los Angeles and throughout the United States. And just depending on a person's upbringing, certain people of certain either socioeconomic backgrounds, who was it? Somebody was just telling me, oh, there was a barrio. I had no idea. I think it's somewhere in Glendale near a train station. And she said what was astounding is the kids play on the street together and the moms are out there and they're interacting with one another and helping each other. And here is just a little subset of Los Angeles, which some people might consider, oh, it's a dangerous area. And yet here you have these kids who have the freedom to play on the streets like probably you and I did when we were kids, where right. most parents in my neighborhood or in your neighborhood wouldn't even let the kids go out on the street.
Right.
I think it all comes down to shifting perspective, and I that's why I so admire what you're up to with the company and what you're doing. Is it's shifting the perspective back to one of camaraderie and of love, and it really does all come down to it. And even if, have you seen the movie with your son yet? I'm not sure. Civil War, the new Marvel one.
No, not yet.
I know my husband is my grown child. I love him to pieces. He took me to the movie the other night, but it actually brought me to tears because in the movie, and it probably wasn't meant to, it was about trying to put friends against each other. That's the whole point of the movie Civil War. It's like, I don't know who it was, Iron Man versus Captain America. And here you have these two people who are best friends, and then they pit them against each other, and then you have this hatred. And I think that's kind of a symbolism for the world right now. And what we're seeing is you just see so much hatred. Like, I feel like people look at one another, male or female, female to female, etc., and are just looking for reasons to distance themselves rather than connect and find the similarities and the love for one another.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a shout out for my husband. After I was crying, he's like, you need to go write an article or do a blog or a podcast about this to like get it out there. That way you're not just sitting around feeling sad about how horrible the world is right now.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about some of the other work you do. So you said in the first 2 weeks, you're focusing a lot on preparing the women. You're getting them, you're basically giving them a foundation. So that way they're going to be fully ready to reassimilate themselves into the job market through giving them menus, et cetera. What else are you doing and what other sorts of training are you providing them with?
So one whole week is the social development. So it's, you know, how to do your LinkedIn profile, the keywords around
Great.
Even, you know, giving them professional headshot, you know, someone, you know, the headshot truck comes in and, you know, gets it.
How great is that?
Yeah, you know, because they say that I think it's 60% more likely to be viewed on LinkedIn if you have a professional picture.
Really? I had never heard that statistic. That's very helpful.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't know if exactly that, but it's upwards of 50%. So that's 1 week. And then we do interview skills. So because we have this group of women, you know, what we do is we have one be the interviewer, one be the interviewee. Oh. So they kind of help each other out. One asks the questions and one answers. So it kind of gives them, you know, the mentor mentality. And we also have that wellness week, we call it, which is everything from the menu planning to other resources that you might need in your community. So throughout the 6 weeks, and we're also thinking about changing it a little bit to have a two-day more immersive, you know, for women that need to kind of get back up running faster for whatever reason. You know, they don't have 6 weeks to kind of decide on what they're doing. Some women wanted the longer course time because
they have children and they're busy.
Yeah, they weren't ready. Weren't ready yet, you know, to make that commitment.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so for women out there, whether they're going to use your company opt-in or even if they're just looking at approaching how to kind of get their feet wet and get back in, what do you suggest to them as a first step? Clearly, you have this great 6-week program and soon to be the 2-day program, but what would you suggest to the women out there in the world who might be listening and might not even have access to your program?
Right. What I would say is LinkedIn is such a powerful network tool. So I would, there's lots of great resources online where you could go and just kind of figure out, you know, how to get your LinkedIn up and ready and start building that network of people that you know. And the other thing is moms sometimes underestimate the very powerful network that they come across every day in the grocery store, at the soccer field, and at school. What you want to do is start telling everyone, you know what, I'm going to go back to work. You'll be surprised about what stories you'll hear, what recommendations you'll get. Oh, well, my husband's job is looking for someone, you know. So just tell everyone that you come across, and it helps you build your self-esteem. You know, it helps you kind of get your elevator pitch ready and practiced.
Yeah.
And you just go and tell everyone.
I think that's a great point. And LinkedIn, like you said, is so critical and important because it's your social network as well as your online network. And I was talking to somebody about this a couple weeks ago. Even on Facebook, people sometimes get embarrassed or shameful about having to say, oh gosh, I'm thinking of getting back into the workplace. Because some moms I've even encountered feel shameful that they're leaving their kids. Is there anything on the psychological side that you deal with about overcoming any sort of shame or fear or anything that might go along with that?
Well, how we handle that in our course, and we offer some free courses too, where when women get together, I mean, just sharing your stories. I mean, on one of the workshops, it happened to be a day when my sixth grader was doing her Shakespeare at school and all the parents were going. Well, I couldn't because I had to be at work and I was doing this workshop. And, you know, that was hard for me. That was hard for me to say, like, okay, you know.
You feel guilty as mom.
I feel guilty. But you know, on the other side, you just have to say, when she's 20, she's not going to remember I didn't go to her sixth grade Shakespeare play. And you pick and choose, and you kind of need to get yourself ready that, yes, there's going to be some things that you missed, you know, and that's okay. And you have to say, like, you know, for me, what I try to tell those women is, like, I feel very lucky that I was able to stay home for X amount of years, you know, and that was important for my family to do that at that time. Now, you know, we've kind of outsourced to, you know, the specialties, you know, the teachers that take good care of them during the day, they go to great after-school activities.
To trust. It comes down to trust that the people who are the experts, whether it's teachers or daycare people or whoever it might be, are going to be able to take sufficient care of the kids.
Yeah, and my mother used to always tell me, you know, when I would not want to leave my kids, whether I want to leave them with her or someone else, she said, Carrie, it's important that they know that someone else is there to take care of them.
Way they feel safe. Everything in life comes down to safety, feeling safe.
If they only thought that I was there, only thought their father was there, I mean, how scary, because I'm not there. I'm not there all the time.
And I think it's healthy, too, to, you know, I see some moms, and there's so many parenting styles, and who knows which one is the perfect one, but
there's
you see some moms, I know, right? That's a work in progress for everybody, but you see some moms where the child can't stand to be separated from the mom, and you're setting them up for a dangerous situation and for disappointment, where some might argue that it's even better to leave your kids at an early enough age, perhaps for everybody it's different, 3, 5, 6, whatever it might be. That way they can learn how to stand on their own and how to feel confident and safe without mom or dad nearby.
Yeah, and what sometimes I have to tell a lot of women is that this is going to be harder for you than it is for them. You know, that first day of preschool may have been hard for them, you know, but now they're used to going and being on their own during the day. And, you know,
self-reliant and confidence, and it builds up. That way when you're bullied in sixth grade, that you'll be self-reliant and stand up to the bullies.
Yeah, exactly.
So question for you as a mom, do you recommend having a conversation with your kids if they're at a certain age? Say, hypothetically, you're going back to the workplace and your kids are between the ages of, like, say, 4 to 10. Is it appropriate to sit down and have, like, a household conversation? That way the kids feel like they're a part of it? Or is that... tell me your 2 cents on that.
Yeah, I would definitely, once you've made the decision, I would definitely, you know, like with anything, sit down with the kids and reassure them that, you know, this is not going to change their day-to-day life. They just want to know what's going to change for me. How am I going to be affected? If I'm not going to be affected, that's fine. So by setting them up early and saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go to school like you always do. I'm going to drop you off. But, you know, Sally's going to pick you up now. And, you know, just kind of laying it out for them so that they understand and tell them, you know, it's going to be difficult for mommy in the beginning, you know, because mommy's used to being here every day after school. But, you know, this is what's best for our family now. And I've always talked to my kids about working and who that was for me. But even now with, you know, running 2 companies, my kids still complain, you know, so to speak, when, you got to work, you know. But guarantee it in the long run, you know, I'm empowering my girls to see that women, you know,
you can do it all. You can have both. And it's so interesting because one of my guests who's going to be on the show on June 6th, I believe, is Mary Jo Larai. And we're going to be talking about how to own your femininity in business and to balance the masculine and feminine, not only for women, but for men, because what it looks like to be a man or a woman, it can be, some people have it that you have to be a tough, you know, B-I-T-C-H in business. And it's about helping the future generations understand that it's not either or. It doesn't have to be either you can be a mom or you can be an entrepreneur or a businesswoman. There is a way to have both and have everybody in the situation, be it a husband, wife, kids, etc., be empowered and have everybody get what they need and get their needs met in a healthy way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, what I try to encourage, you know, all the moms out there to really start with their own mindset. You know, that sometimes, you know, if you go into any situation with this real negative, oh, it's going to be horrible, my kids are going to, you know, of course that's how they're going to take it. But if you go into it, and that's why, we, you know, you go back to the original question is when you're ready, you'll know it and you'll approach it in a completely different way. You know, you'll impose it, you know, approach it real positively and everything around the transition will be positive.
Yeah, I think it's about setting up fulfillable expectations. I know there's that great quote out there that expectations are pre-made resentments, but it's about making sure that nobody's left resentful or bitter or frustrated or disempowered. And it's about communication, like anything in life. If you just set standards, hey, here's what you can expect, here's what you can't expect, and just making sure that nobody has unfulfilled expectations that are going to leave them disempowered, be it the parents or the children.
Right. And that also on the flip side of that is there's going to be tough days.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hard.
You're gonna have to power through it sometimes.
Yeah, for the first time in 12 years, I left my child at school. Forgot to pick him up.
Oh, but you're human, and that's the amazing thing to be talking to you, who's this powerful entrepreneurial woman who has three children. And it's nice to know, you know, I appreciate your vulnerability because we are human. We're gonna make mistakes, and it's about owning up to them and just going, okay, I'm human. Now I get to move on.
Right. And so when I got there, I said, what do I do? Do I tell him I forgot? So he looks at me and goes, this is very late, mommy. Everyone's gone. Did you forget about me?
Oh, no. What did you say?
I said, Jack, honey, I did. My mind got into work and I got busy. And he said, that's okay. It wasn't so bad.
Oh.
So I know he's a sweet boy. But there, apologize and own it.
And be authentic. I mean, that's the important thing.
He knew I forgot him. It was like 6 o'clock. The place was closing.
Yeah, well, it's so funny about our culture, because I remember a few months back when it was the Miss America pageant, I believe, with Steve Harvey. And what was really interesting that I think it was my brother-in-law brought it to my attention. As human beings, we berated him for coming out onto TV. So he screwed up. He announced the wrong winner. And then right after he announced the wrong winner, he put his tail between his legs, went right out on stage, and he took full responsibility and said, I screwed up. You have my word. It'll never happen again. I apologize. And everybody was all over him and beating him up for it. Where if we're trying to instill this in our children, I think it's brilliant what you did is you took responsibility. So often we try to sweep things under the rug and who knows what's the right or wrong way, but you have to ask yourself what sort of values do you want to instill in your children?
Right.
Well, we're running close to out of time here, so I want to make sure our guests and listeners know how to find you, how to sign up for these amazing workshops that you offer. So tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Okay, so we have our website, which is www.optbackin.com, and that's where you can find a real detailed look at our 6-week course and what happens on each week. And my email is kerry@optbackin.com. If you have any questions or if you need any help, I'm more than happy to shoot you an email or set up a call and help you with any questions that you might have. And there's also hello@optbackin.com if you want to just send an email to my team and have any questions for us.
And so how, just for a little bit more information for our listeners out there, how would somebody go about registering in one of your programs? Is how often do you offer them? Is it easy? Is it, you know, only a couple times a year?
Yeah, so they're a couple times a year, and we do take a break coming into the summer season for childcare issues.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of found that those sessions were lower. But what we're thinking about doing for July and August is doing some online courses. So all the information is on our website, and that's where the dates are. And we also offer a free workshop in LA to kind of introduce people to the brand, and we have our career coach there. So we haven't set our date yet, but that happens in Santa Monica, and I'll put that on the website in the next 2 weeks or so.
Okay, that's fantastic. And I know you regularly contribute and are interviewed for the Huffington Post. Are there any other resources or books or anything like that that you would recommend to our listeners out there for moms looking to get back into the workplace?
Well, yeah, there's lots of great articles that are out there. And what we try to do is each week we put together kind of the top four or five articles from the web into our weekly newsletter. It's kind of a place where moms could go and kind of get some helpful information. So that's we do our weekly newsletter, which has got some light stuff and some kind of more helpful things. So you can go on our website, you know,
lots
sign up
of
for
helpful
that.
Helpful resources.
Yeah, there's some great videos that we have, which I think all moms would get a kick out of one. It's called I Never Opted Out, and it's just a cute video about how the skills at home directly
correlate
to working in the working force. So that's just kind of a fun one.
That's awesome. Terrific. So today you've been listening to Get Yourself the Job with Carrie Dolan, my guest for today, and this is Jennifer Hill. And next week our guest is going to be Larry Braham, who is a global career and consulting as well as placement expert. He is the president of the company, and they help people find and create more fulfilling and productive careers. So Larry and I are going to be talking about that from all perspectives, no matter who you are in the workplace. How can you be empowered in making sure that you find a job that fulfills you personally as well as professionally. So thank you again for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and our guest Carrie Dolan today, and we look forward to having you tune in next week with Larry on the show. Thanks so much.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.